A long time ago, my parents had a station wagon. You guys remember station wagons? There are seven kids in the family, plus mom and dad. We're nine of us, and so we had this station wagon. And it was a big old monster of an automobile. And my sister and I would sit in the back seat. And it was cool, this station wagon, the back seat folded up like this, and you could sit four people facing each other in the very, very back. And I don't even think we had seatbelts back then. I'm not sure. Anyway, so we sat in the back seat, and we would go on long road trips. And before there were video screens and Game Boys and all that sort of thing, kids had to figure out how to entertain themselves on these road trips. And so my sister, my little sister Valerie and I, had this game that we would play. Mom would buy us a magazine. Now, if you're under 20, a magazine is like a static website that's printed on paper. And we played this game called the magazine game. Did any of you play this game, the magazine game? We would sit next to each other, and we would start flipping the magazine open. And if she was sitting on my left, everything on the page on the left side would be hers. And everything on the page on the right side would be mine. And we would sit there and dream about all this great stuff we were going to have when we had the money to buy all this cool stuff. And sometimes I would get things like, you know, perfume, but she would get like a man's watch. And so we would do a lot of bartering and stuff like this. It would pass the time away. It was wonderful because we were learning American consumerism right at the very start of our whole entire life. And we learned it well. We loved looking at all these things and all the great things that we would have when we grew up because we just wanted it. We just knew that we deserved it. We wanted all this cool stuff in our lives. That's what we do. Today we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, and we're on part three. If you remember, we started the Lord's Prayer with the fact that we are children of God, that He is our King, and we are His royal people that are adopted into His kingdom. We've learned that we should pray that His kingdom be done in us. But now we're going to talk about the third part of the Lord's Prayer, which is very simple. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what's interesting about this part of the petition of the Lord's Prayer is that it's the only part of the Lord's Prayer that actually requests or asks God for something physical or tangible. If you look at everything else in the Lord's Prayer, it's all spiritual stuff. It's just this one little bit. Give us this day our daily bread. When I hear this petition in the Lord's Prayer, I'm immediately drawn to our Old Testament lesson that we read this morning about the children of Israel being fed by God. Because what was that story? God rescued them out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land. He's brought plagues. Everybody knows that God rescued them, brought them across the Red Sea or whatever the sea. And everybody knows that God, and all of a sudden, they're hungry. And so they start complaining to God, we're hungry. We don't have anything to eat. We'll never survive. You're not going to take care of us. Even after He just brought them out of Egypt, of course He's going to take care of them. He's their God. They're His special people. Of course He's going to take care of them. But they cry out, Lord, help us. So they wake up the next day, and all of a sudden there's this manna on the ground. And they look at it, and they push it into cakes and stuff, and they eat it. It's like this fantastic manna. And it sustains them. But it only lasts for one day. Because the next day, if they go out and they had stored some manna, it would have bugs in it, and it would have a terrible smell, and they couldn't eat it. So God said, you can eat the manna. I'm going to take care of you. Oh, my stuff fell. I'll take care of you, but I'm only going to take care of you day by day. You're going to have to trust that I'm going to take care of you day by day. Don't store this stuff. Just keep it day by day. Know that you are my children. I'm your God. I'm going to take care of you. What a powerful, wonderful lesson that God teaches the children of Israel. And every time I hear the Lord's Prayer, I think in this petition, Give us this day our daily bread. I think, God, you know what I need every day. I pray that you give it to me every day. It requires trust in God. You know, it's interesting, but in our American culture, we don't really, I don't think we live this way. I don't think that we kind of just say, Lord, store up, I just want to trust you every day. It seems like in the United States, we got to be prepared for everything. Have you ever heard of preppers? Do you know what a prepper is? A prepper is someone who's going to store for the end calamity of the world. And I always laugh when I think about preppers, not because I'm a prepper too. You know, don't you want to be a prepper too? Isn't that a song somewhere? Wouldn't you like to be a prepper too? Anyway, the fact is that if the world is actually going to end, what are the two things you need? You need water and you need food, right? But if you start calculating how much food we have on our bodies, okay, I'm about 20 pounds overweight, so I could probably go like 2 months without eating and I'd be okay. And I always think it's funny, you see these disaster movies and it's like, we got to have all this food because otherwise we're going to die. No, you won't die. I'm sorry to tell you, it might be painful and it might be uncomfortable, but you're not going to die. And I think that it's not bad to store all this stuff. It's a good idea. You should have stores of food because of all that sort of thing. But when you really, really come down to it, God's got it all under control. And you're probably saying, but I know that there's so many countries around the world where they have no food. I remember when I was a kid, this may have happened to you too, when I was a kid growing up in grade school, they were saying that probably in the next 40 to 50 years, we're going to run out of food and we're all going to die. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that from grade school? Because they assumed that our capacity to produce food would not go up. But I don't think that's true. I don't think we're going to die from food. I think God gives us an amount of food that we need. He cares for his world. His world's not dying. But the fact is, there are people starving in the world, and it's not for lack of food. I think it's mostly corrupt governments that are preventing people from eating around the world. As a matter of fact, it'd be interesting to plot government corruption and the amount of starving in the country that you have. And if you did that, you might find that there's an interesting correlation. Because God loves us. He loves his people. He cares for us. And yeah, we can't see thousands of years in the future to know exactly what's going to happen, but I think if you believe that God loves his people, you got to know that God loves us and he's going to care for us. He cares for us greatly. Our problem is mostly that, at least my problem, I'll tell you my problem. My problem is I look in the magazines and I see this stuff and it's like, I got to have that. I want that so bad. Because I deserve it, you know, and so I remember this is a terrible story I'm going to tell you that is personal and I'm embarrassed by it, but I got to tell you because I already just said I'm going to tell you. So anyway, years ago I was working in Denver, Colorado, and I was driving every day up to Fort Collins to do a project, and then like the next day I was driving down to Colorado Springs to do a project. I was doing this all the time. And I had this Ford Escort hatchback. You ever seen one of these cars? It was green Ford Escort hatchback. Wonderful car. Great gas mileage. And I was going back and forth, and I just didn't like driving the stupid car. It was a hard car to drive, and I was doing a lot of traveling. And I got promoted at work, right? So what's the first thing that I do? It's like, hey, I've been promoted. I deserve a better car. So I go out, and I buy. This is just, I'm so embarrassed by this. I buy a Ford Expedition because it has to handle all of our kids, right? And I'm like, if I have this Ford Expedition, then everybody will know that I've arrived in the world. I'm somebody, right? So I go down and I buy this car, and I'm just so happy about this car because it's just cool, you know? And think of all the great things I could do with this car. Well, it turns out that I still had to drive to Colorado Springs and Fort Collins every day. And I'll never forget the first time I went to the gas station to fill up this stupid Ford Expedition. I've been driving a Ford Escort. You know, it takes no gas whatsoever. So So I put the thing in the gas, I turn the gas on. All of a sudden, it's like 10 gallons, and it's keep going. I'm like looking underneath the thing. It's like, where's all this gas going? It was terrible. I mean, it took so much gas. This new position that I have with the new salary and all this, it was all going to be taken up by gas money. And nobody cared. My wife didn't care. My friends didn't care. Nobody cared. But I was sure driving on I-25, looking at everybody else on that freeway, saying, look at me. Look at the car I'm driving. Ended up getting rid of that car. I wish I had that Ford Escort again. It was a great thing. Now, I'm not saying, please understand, I am not telling you to go out and buy a nice car or have a car that you'd like to drive. This is me. I'm telling you my story. I learned the hard way more than one time that a lot of the things I bought in my life were to impress other people about who I was. Maybe that's happened to you also. Maybe you don't really need something, but you just think you deserve it because you've arrived in life. Or maybe you look at something and say, I can't live without that thing. And it's taken me a long time with God carving in my life, a long time to kind of work through all that. Because what's the answer? What's the answer is this verse. Give us this day our daily bread. See, we're children of the Most High God. We are His beloved people. We don't need to prove to Him that we're anything. We don't need to prove to the world that we're anything. He's already proven Himself to us by sending His Son to make us His children. And the more that you understand that, the more you will understand that God loves you no matter what you drive, no matter what things you have, no matter who you are, God loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. That's the lesson from this. You know, for years I would pray this prayer and I would say, this is the part of the Lord's Prayer where I get to God, ask God for all the things that I want in life. You know, well, God, I want a car and I want an expedition, I want a new watch and I want perfume and, well, shook camp, you know, the stuff the guys put on, not perfume, cologne. Anyway, I want all this stuff, Lord. Everything that I see in this magazine, that's what I want. And that's at the part of the petition where we can ask for everything that we want, right? That's not what the petition says. He says, give us this day our daily bread. It is asking God for something, but what we're asking for is that God would work through us to give us a heart that understands that really all we need in this life is God and His love and adoption into His kingdom. And as long as we have that, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. May God richly show you that you are His beloved child and that He will take care of you with heavenly manna in His way, in His time, forever. In His name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.